Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears? Kim Kardashian? Paris Hilton? Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you! All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Play was powerful. This is a no-win situation.
Show. Whew, I made it. It's 9 a.m. in California. 12 noon, East Coast. Did you see the weather in Buffalo? My God, the snowstorms and everything. Wow. California, we have to go to the mountains. You know, one good thing about California, we want snow, we go to the mountains. On the same day, we can go to the mountains to play in the snow. Then we can go to the beach later on that day. That's what we have. We have snow. If you want to go to the beach later, you can. People do that. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is Friday. Friday, we're loosey-goosey. We're loosey-goosey. And if you know who Lucy is, whoa, Lucy Goosey, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? She will goose you. Yes, she will. Yes, she will. God bless Lucy. But when Lucy leaves, she breaks your heart. You go into a spiral, get depressed, start eating fentanyl for breakfast. That love, man. There's no love. You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucy. True. True. It's Friday, everybody. It's really loose. I have a topic we'll talk upon. It's a serious topic. But if you want to come in all week, if you want to talk about some news that hit you hard this week, or you had a trauma that happened in your family, you need to get it off your chest, or you want to send a radio love letter to your boyfriend, your lover, your husband, or your stepchild that's not of age and you sneak into her room and nobody knows about it. Come on and show. The number is 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. It's Friday. And that confession, have you got a confession? You know what? Confession's great. Nobody's better at listening to confessions. I'm better than, some people think I'm better than like the Catholic priest and the Pope because I listen. And you just come on in and you want to, you know, something's on your mind, like, you know, you did something and you just need to get it off your chest. Talk to Uncle Hammy here. You know what I mean? Uncle Hammy is willing to listen to you and keep your confession secret between me and you. And I'll probably post it on our next subject, but and then we'll put it on Twitter. But besides that, It's just going to be between us. Confess to Uncle Hammy. Mm. Somebody used to say Hammy could be your mammy. Yeah. Nothing is sacred than when you confess to your mammy. So talk to Uncle Hammy. The number again is 319-527-6099. You'll have a great time. I promise you, you'll feel a lot better. It'll save $100 an hour with a therapist. Subject, here we go. Once licked, twice bitten. Yeah. Are you a pussy addict? Are you, sir? Are you, ma'am? Are you a pussy addict? I didn't stutter. Pussy addict. You want to know what a pussy addict is? Now, since I got my degree on the internet, and it says, and they did a typo with my license, but I'm really certified to give out advice and medical advice. I got it on the internet. Cost me about $500, and I went to 4 weeks of medical school. So I'm certified. Once licked, twice bitten. Are you a pussy addict? Are you an addict? Are you an addict too? I mean, you just got to have it. You got to have the pussy. Now, maybe it sounds better if you're French. Pussy. Monsieur. Do you mind if I eat the pussy? Come here. Let's smoke some cigarettes and let's have some coffee and let's see if we can come to some kind of agreement. You know, boom, 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 bonjour. Let's do. I eat your pussy. You know, maybe French. It sounds better. Oui. Yeah, I eat your pussy, and you could suck my wee-wee. Yes, we both agree, eh? Maybe that could be Canadian, I don't know. Hey, yeah, it's international. You need to rub it. Do you need to taste it? You just got to have it. Does it just thinking about pussy make your mouth drool? Like you could almost close your eyes and taste pussy. Oh, yeah. Are you that kind of person? Do you need to rub it? Get in there and rub it. I get some dough that you're going to put in the oven, and you rub it, and you squeeze it, and you mold it, and you foam it, and you stick your fingers in it, and you slap it on a little bread table. And phew, yeah. Do you need to do that? Do you need to eat it? It's like, oh, this is a lovely pussy. Can you go to a restaurant? Can you imagine a restaurant named Pussy? I go, honey, where are we going? We're going to a nice little French restaurant. Where are we going? A Pussy. I never heard of that restaurant. It's great food, especially if you're a vegetarian. Come on in. And there's a waiter there. And he says, hello, may I show you to your table? Yes, my good man. We got two for two. Oh, welcome. You must be Brian Hammer Jackson. Yes, I am. Oh, we got good table for you. It's just, oh, you sit down, it's so moist and it's so warm and cuddly in the restaurant. And go, oh, okay. Would you like the menu? No menu. We'll just have the pussy. Oh, very good, sir. Very good. Two pussies, table 14. Or table 69. Oh, that's how we laugh in France. Hey. Yeah. Yeah, you rub it, you eat it, you need it. Under any circumstances, you need it. You got to have it. You wake up, you're thinking about it. In the middle of the night, you're thinking about it. On your job, you're thinking about it. You're thinking about that coworker. You're not looking at her because she's a good accountant. You're saying, I wonder what's under those panties. Is it shaved? Is it not shaved? Does she have a little bit of a little bit of hair, landing strip? I wonder what is the shape? Is it a bush woman or not a bush woman? It's just so many decisions and so on. It's a mystery down there. huh. And then you finally notice that she has blue eyes after 3 years of working with her. Oh, look at that. Hmm. I still like the restaurant. Who said, hey, whoa, we got a new customer. And you just need it for around your, you just need it around you under any circumstances, even if it would ruin your life. You know, I wonder if they have lipsticks that taste like pussy. You know, you put it on there, go, and you, like, you're giving a guy a hit, like maybe you're on your third date and he still doesn't get the hint. Maybe you had sex with him and he just doesn't know how to do it, and maybe you require more licking. I mean, short of having a tattoo that says, you know, I require more licking, or are you an idiot? Here it is, feast, you know? So maybe you get, like, pussy lipstick, and you put it on your lips, and then when you kiss him, he goes, that's a familiar taste. Can't quite. And then by the time he looks at you, you're on your back and your legs are open, and you say, it's pussy. Yes, it's pussy. Oh, I must muff dive. Just call me Jack Cousteau. Here we go French again. Ho, 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 Jack Cousteau. I must eat the pussy. Ho, 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 ho. That's how they laugh in French, by the way. I travel. That's how they laugh in France. Ho, ho, ho. It's like Santa, but with an accent. Like Santa is ho, 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 but the French is ho, ho, ho. They put the passion in the ho. Sometimes what I say, put the passion in the hole. Sorry, not scripted, and it cracks me up. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Once licked, twice bitten. Are you a pussy addict? And if we have time, we'll talk. There's a new lady that's on my target list. She's in my, what do you call it, scope. You know, when you... Her name is Dr. Wendy Walsh. She gives advice for women out there and some sensitive men. I don't happen to agree with some advice. You know, I'm going to tell you something, ladies. I hate to tell you, but I'm going to tell you something. I hate to tell you, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Never take advice, love advice, from a woman. If you want to know about a man, you take love advice from a man. Like me, I got my degree. I also got, not only that I'm a certified surgeon, because it took me 4 weeks on the internet to get my certificate, and I paid $500, but I'm also a marriage counselor, because it was like a two-for-one thing. So I was also studying about, you know, counseling and romance and relationships. So I am an expert, and I got it proven because I got my receipt. So I'm going to say something. If you want love advice, you get it from a man. Because that's like a man raising a daughter. Not going to happen. A daughter gets a certain age, she's not going to tell him or discuss anything with him. No. She's going to talk to the nearest pervert on the street who gives her candy. Okay, forget that. But she's going to talk to her girlfriends. Same thing with love advice. If you want to know about a man, you talk to a man. We'll tell you about it. I am me, which don't make sense right now, but it will later if you talk to me about your love life and you're having trouble. I am qualified. I got the receipt. I went to 4 weeks of school on the internet, on the dark web. I'm certified. So talk to Hammy. Dear Hammy, and I won't answer all of your love stuff, and I take it very seriously. I'm very clinical about it, very professional. All right, so that's going to be our show. Give you time to come into the studio. This is Friday. We're going to have some fun. Again, the number is 319-527-6099. Are you a pussy addict? Once licked, twice bitten. Yeah. That's our show. We'll be right back while I get some coffee in 2 minutes. You know, I got a feeling I'm going to be talking to myself today because a lot of people are embarrassed to come in with the topic of once licked, twice bitten. Some people are embarrassed to talk about eating pussy. I understand it. You're like one of those closet pussy eaters. I understand. It's a subject that a lot of you men are pussies. And you just don't want to talk about. But it has to be talked about. And I'm the man who's going to talk about it, Dr. Hammy. Class is open. Here we go. You know, it's not a coincidence that when you go to a bar, did you notice that a lot of drinks have kind of sexy names? Even the drink itself. Where'd you get that from? Any drink. I don't know. I don't know. I have never went out with a woman goes, would you like to have a cocktail? No. I'm straight. Thank you very much. Don't mess around with that. I'm a man. People usually say, let's have a drink. No cocktail. What is that? I mean, some people like bangers. What's a banger? You know, I think they have it in England or something. But did you ever notice the sexy names? Or how about the cocktail, the sex on the beach? Well, this guy, his name is Pizio. P-I-Z-I-O. According to the legend, Pizio, he named the cocktail Sex on the Beach. Everybody heard about the cocktail Sex on the Beach. What's in it? He named it that because he figured sex and the beach were two main reasons why vacationers and spring breakers visit the Sunshine State each year. That's why they go to the beach. It's like a mint jaleb. Name has origins that go as far back as 1400s. I mean, what's even more disturbing that people were having sex in the 1400s. What kind of, I didn't know there was beaches in the 1400s. Well, wait a minute, Columbus sailed. Didn't Columbus sail in 1492, or was it 1472? It was the 70s, or was it the 90s? 1442, or was that the war? 14-something, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. So they had to have beaches, or else Columbus couldn't drive on a freeway, something like that. I did go cool, so I know my shit. That's the drink, goes back as far as the 1400s. And these are nine, I'm going to give you nine. These are nine naughty cocktail names and recipes that follow. So if you want to get naughty and be silly, and you want to just, you know, kind of make your mate horny, that's what you do. One is called, and let me see if you know these. These cocktails, there's nine. Number nine. I should do something dramatic here. What can I do that's dramatic? Oh, I know what I could do. Because I don't have my purse in here, so I'm going to have to just do it myself. Okay, I'm going to have to do the news thing. I think it'll make it more dramatic, right? That's what I'll do. Let's say number nine. Yeah, that works. That works. Number nine. I lost it. Oh, it's back. Number nine. Nope, too far. To the rest. Oh, okay. Number nine. Number nine is called the redheaded slut. Oh, she's beautiful. I know the redheaded slut. She visits. Oh, I see her on the Riviera. Number nine, the redheaded slut. It's one of the best naughty drinks. It says the recipes that are surely to satisfy any appetite. Happy and safe, indulging dirty birds. Okay, here we go. Let me go back to this. Ooh. Okay, I'm sorry. Somebody's saying, well, what's in it? Well, I'll tell you what's in the redhead slut. I'm not. That's all you have to know. You dirty, dirty redheaded slut. Well, what it is, it's like 1 3/4 ounces of Jägermeister, 1 3/4 ounces of peach schnapps, cranberry juice. That's a redheaded slut. Here's what you do. You pour the Jägermeister. You pour it in the schnapps over ice and add cranberry juice to fill to the top and stir. That's it. That's a redhead slut. The Jägermeister. I misspelled that. You know, Jägermeister. You know what I'm talking about. You redheaded slut. That's a redheaded slut. That is a redheaded slut. There's somebody on the Facebook saying, what? What? What do you mean, what? It's what it is. What? So that's it. That's number nine. All right, here we go. Number eight. Number eight. Here we go. Number eight. And I'm not getting it. Number eight. Are you ready for number eight? Number eight. Here we go. Number eight. Sex. Oh, I forgot to. This is too much. I got to get an assistant. I got too much stuff I'm doing right now. I need a drink. Okay, number eight. Number eight. Here we go. Number eight. Thank you. Forgot where it was. Number eight. The sex with an alligator. This has to be a Louisiana thing. The sex with an alligator. It's 1/5 ounce of raspberry liqueur, 1 ounce of melon liqueur, 1/2 ounce of Jägermeister, or Jägermeister, whatever you want to prefer. What you do is you shake the melon liquor and sweet and sour mix in a cocktail shaker with ice. Strain into a chilled martini glass. Slowly pour raspberry liqueur down the side of the martini glass, topped with Jägermeister. And you got set. Ooh, that looks like a great drink. Wow. Wow, look at that. It's colorful and everything. Wow, that's sex with an alligator. That's it. Wow. That does look good. Number seven, I think. Yeah. Well, I'm just going to go down really quick because it's taking too much time. But these are drinks. These are drinks that people love, are eating that has sexy names. And would you do it? Would you drink it because it has a sexy name? The other one is called, and this looks really good, it's called the Angel's Tit. The Angel's Tit. It looks good. It looks like it's in a little glass like you would eat a fudge. It looks, it has dark at the bottom, and it's creamy up top. It has a cherry there. It's called the Angel Tit. What's in it is 1/4 ounce of white cream de coca. C-A-C-A-O, coco. Whatever. 1/4 ounce of cherry liqueur, 1/4 ounce of half and half, and a maraschino cherry. It looks really good. You pour the cream of the coco, then the cherry liqueur, the half and half, into a cocktail glass carefully so each layer floats to the top. And you chill for 1/2 hour before serving. It looks really good. That's called the Angel Tit. The next one, it is called, that doesn't look like a gallery. Huh. Oh, that doesn't look good. Let's go to the next one. Okay, here we go. The Leg Spreader. That sounds lovely. Honey, I will take, she will have the martini, and I would have the leg spreader. It's the leg spreader. It's 1 1/2 ounces of Midori melon liqueur, 1 1/4 ounces of Malibu rum, 6 ounces of pineapple juice, a splash of 7-Up. It's called the leg spreader. It looks really good. And it says this, Sex on a Beach, and I'm reading it. Sex on a Beach may as well be renamed Walk in the Park after viewing the 9 following cocktails. The naughty drinks got their name by drunken, horny bartenders and baristas that express their sexual frustrations through their mixology skills. Okay, that's probably not true, but it's legitimate theory, right? Maybe some are named in honor of ex-lovers. For example, the redheaded slut. Everybody knows, and everybody has drank one. You know, it sounds so sexy as you're married and your husband, and it's Friday, right? The holidays are coming. You're sitting there, the kids are asleep, whatever. And he looked at him. He goes, you know, I would like to have a redheaded slut. Just to see the expression on his face. It would be priceless. Yeah, I'd like to have a redheaded slut, honey. What do you think? There you go. And it says, either way, it's likely these drinks are popular among young drinkers who are thrilled to ask the bartender for a quick fuck. One thing is for sure, if their explicit names are telling of how the consumer night will end, these cocktails may be just the dirtiest in the book. There you go. The leg spreader. This is another one. It's called, oh, it's a commercial. Well, don't drink that. Dodge Dart. It's called, here's another one. Ooh, this looks interesting. Wow. This is called, what the hell is this? Oh, this is called the blowjob. I didn't even know the name. It looked good. No wonder it looked good. This looks good. These, we're talking about our subject, and sometimes these are funny things that when you go to, just go to the bar. When you have a drink, go to the bar. Somebody asks you, what you like to drink? Even in, just look at, these are real drinks. And see if the bartender knows how to do a blowjob. It's called the blowjob. What's in it? It's a half an ounce of Bailey's Irish Cream, a quarter ounce of Amaretto, a half ounce of Kahlua, and whipped cream. It's called the blowjob. I like that. It's called the blowjob. Honey, you want a blowjob? Why, sure, dear. I just worked overtime. Do I have to take a shower? No, you don't. Oh, then of course, dear. And give him a blowjob. A half ounce of Bailey's Irish Cream, a quarter ounce of Amaretto, a half ounce of Kahlua, and whipped cream. The drink is called a blowjob. How's that? Here's another drink. We're almost done. The Screaming Orgasm. Never had one. Never had one. Well, what's in it? 1 ounce of vodka. 1.5 ounce of Bailey Ice Cream. 1 ounce of Kahlua. That's it. Very simple. It's called the Screaming Orgasm. 1 ounce of vodka, 1 ounce of Bailey's Irish Cream, 1 ounce of Kahlua. That's it. What to do? You fill your cocktail glass with crushed ice, then add vodka, then Bailey's, then Kahlua. Stir. That's it. Use a high-quality vodka so the Bailey's do not curdle. That's it. The blowjob. It's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas. And oh, wait, where's the next one? I don't like that one. I'm going to go to the next one. Oh, this looks good. It's called Bend Over Shirley. That's the name of the drink. Bend Over Shirley. What's in it? 1.5 ounce of raspberry vodka, 4 ounces of Sprite, 3/4 ounce of grenadine syrup, the Marchino cherries, and a dingleberry or a raspberry. Bend over, Shirley. That's another drink. And it's all red and everything. It looks red. It looks like it has ice in it, and it looks like it has cherries. Bend over, Shirley. That's the next drink. We're almost done. You should write this down. And next time you go to a bartender or you go out to dinner, get this. Say to the waitress, hi, sir, I'm your waitress. Oh, would you like anything from the bar? Yes, bend over, Shirley. My name is Lisa, but I'll gladly do it. No, it's the drink, bitch. Oh, sorry. I'll be right back. Don't go away. That's it. Bend over, Shirley. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Next drink. Oh, here we go. Here we go. All right, everybody. This is a drink. Here it is. Very carefully. Put this down as number one on your list. This is the drink. It's called the Quick Fuck. That's right. That's right. The Quick Fuck. What's in it? Well, you cannot have a fuck if you're, you have to have be a little bit Irish. You know you have to throw in some Irish. The Irish eyes are smiling. That's why they're smiling. The quick fuck. One part of Bailey's Irish cream. One part of Midori liquor. One part of Kahlua. That's it. It's a quick fuck, man. It's not, that's it. One part of Bailey's Irish cream. One part of Midori liquor. One part of Kahlua. That's it. That's it. You pour the Kahlua, then the Midori into a shooter. Carefully add Bailey's so that it floats on the top. Pour the Kahlua, then Midori into the shooter. Into the shooter. I got a shooter. Mama got a squeeze box. Bang, bang, baby. Toot, toot. The quick fuck. That's the drink. The quick fuck. Yeah. Getting to look a lot like Christmas. The next one, I don't like that one. We'll go to the next one. Next one, only got two more left. I don't like that one. Looks interesting. Oh, okay. Oh, I know what that one is. Okay, let's go back. Let me see if I have it. No, that's a quick fuck again. Hey, who knew? This one is, nope, I don't like that one. Wait, nope, I don't like that one. All right, this one is a slippery nipple opposed to the sweaty nipple. What's in it? One part of Bailey's Irish cream, one part of Sambuca. I don't know what Sambuca is, B-U-C-A. I have no idea what that is. I have no idea. But that's a slippery nipple. And we're almost to the last one. This one is called, I don't like this one. Let's just skip to the last part. What about this one? Nope. That's it. Those are all the drinks. Those are all the drinks. So save yourself some time. Have some fun when you go out. Quit being embarrassed and whatever. Order yourself a naughty cocktail. At least a blowjob. The blowjob looks really good. There's no man's going to pass up a blowjob. It looks so good. Out of all. And I like the redheaded slut. I really do. You're listening to Hammer 96.7 BT Radio. Once licked, twice bitten. Are you a pussy addict? Are you addicted to, you just got to have it? Do you need to taste it, rub it, eat it? You need it all around you and under any circumstances? If it would ruin your life, then you are an addict. Hey, welcome to the Relationship Show. I'm Brian. But if you come in now, I am Dr. Hammy. I told you I am certified. I got 4 weeks on the internet. I got my certificate. I'm good to go. Hey, I could even marry you. So if you're a young lover and you want to come into the studio, I could marry you. I'm legally marrying you. Yeah, 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. That's the number to call. That's the number to call in. And we'll get to our major story, once licked, twice bitten. Yeah, I can marry you. Yeah. How'd you like to be married by the Hammer? And it's on the radio. It'll be there forever. Yeah. All I have to do is change my shirt and get into my clergy, and then we get on with it. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here in this beautiful place called the studio. Yeah, doesn't that sound good? We'll be right back.
Oh.
With our story, our main story today. Once licked, twice bitten. Are you a pussy addict? Let's take the test and see if you are. Story's big. Big Papa. Oh, yeah. Remember this? This is going back to old school. We'll be right back.
To all the ladies in the place with style and grace, allow me to lace these lyrical douches in your bushes. Who rock grooves and make moves with all the mommies. The back of the club, sipping my wet is where you find me. The back of the club, macking holes, my crew's behind me. Mad question asking, blunt passing, music lasting. But I just can't quit because one of these honeys Biggie got to creep with, sleep with, keep the epic secret. Why not? Why blow up my spot?
spot, cause we both got hot. Now check it, I got more Max and Craig and in the bed. Believe me, sweetie, I got enough to feed the needy. No need to be greedy, I got mad friends with Benz that see notes by the layers. True fucking player. Jump in the Rover and come over, tell your friends, jump in the GS3. I got the chronic by the tree. Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player. To the honeys getting money, playing niggas like dummies. You gotta come up in your waist, please don't shoot up the place.
Why?
Cause I see some ladies tonight that should be having my baby. Straight up, honey, really, I'm asking. Most of these niggas think they be macking, but they be acting. Who they attracting with that line? What's your name? What's your sign? Soon as he buy that wine, I just creep up from behind and ask you what your interests are. Who you be with? Things to make you smile. What numbers to dial? You gon' be here for a while. I'm gon' call my crew. You gon' call your crew. We can run at the bar around two. Plans to leave, throw the keys to little C. Pull the truck up front and roll up the next blunt so we can see him on the way to the telly. Gon' fill my belly. A T-bone steak, cheese, eggs, and Welch's grape. Conversate for a few, cause in a few we gon' do what we came to do. Ain't that right, boo?
True.
Forget the telly, we just go to the crib and watch a movie in the jacuzzi. Smoke L's while you do me. Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player. To the honey getting money, playing niggas like dummies. You gotta come up in your waist, please don't shoot up the place.
Why?
Cause I see some ladies tonight that should be having my baby.
How you living, Biggie Smalls?
In mansion and Benz's, giving ends to my friends, and it feels stupendous. Tremendous cream, fuck a dollar and a dream. Still tote gas strapped with infrared beams.
What?
Chopping O's, smoking line optimals. Money, hoes, and clothes, all a nigga knows. A foolish pleasure, whatever. I had to find the buried treasure. So grams I had to measure. However, living better now, coochie sweater now. Drop top BMs, I'm the man, girlfriend.
Honey, check it. Tell your friends to get with my friends. We could be friends. Shit, we could do this every weekend.
That's right.
Alright? Is that alright with you? Yeah. Keep banging.
I love it when you call me Big Pop. Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player. To the honeys getting money, playing niggas like dummies. You gotta come up in your waist, please don't shoot up the place. Cause I see some ladies tonight that should be having my baby. Baby.
Check it out. Now full shit for that ass. Puff Daddy, Biggie Smalls, Junior Mafia, represent baby, baby.
Yeah, that's Big Papa. Notorious Big, or Big Gee. Hey, look, our subject is once licked, twice bitten. Are you a pussy addict? 111 came in the studio. What we do, we don't put any people on hold. Hello, 111, you're live on the air. You didn't have your name.
I just happened to look up just because I couldn't find you earlier. Did you actually come on the air today or not? And lo and behold, there you are after the time you said we're going to be on.
I am.
So,
how you like this?
My question to you is, given the title of the show, is this the degeneracy hour today?
No, this is the relationship show.
A relationship with what?
With pussy.
Just pussy, just undifferentiated, undisconnected pussy.
Yes.
Is pussy walking around by itself, or is it attached
just
to a woman?
Just pussy. Just pussy. No woman
attached
to it.
Woman. That's all I want to know.
No, it's not attached to a woman at all. It's just pussy. We don't see the woman.
Okay, so it's like on its own. It's like
it's on its own.
It's like pussy that escapes and is roaming the streets.
That's what pussy is.
Pussy
just walking around.
Have you called a pussy control officer to round it up?
We tried, but it's slippery. If you see it.
Okay, all right. Slippery. Okay, good. Well, I got the answer to my question. Yeah.
Yes.
So what relationships are we exploring with pussy here?
Well, see, the thing about pussy is that men don't understand pussy. And we're going to get into something serious about this. Pussy has ruined many men's life. they have a perfectly good pussy at home, but then something happens that they need a little strange pussy, and they would risk their career, they would risk their lives, they would risk their family, they would risk their marriage for some strange pussy. They don't even know the woman. Doesn't have to be it. They will pay money for pussy, and they got pussy at home. They got free pussy at home. Pussy right now is cooking your dinner, washing your clothes, going grocery shopping. Pussy is taking care of your kids, and there's a perfectly good pussy. There's nothing wrong with that pussy. But men will go to a grocery store, and they see this girl, and they got to have it. They don't know this woman. They don't know her from Adam. They got to sleep with her. They got to get into her panties. They got to get the pussy. They got to get the pussy. Why?
Well, you know, Brian, as you well know, Brian, you know, the laws of economics prevail in almost everything, whether you want to admit it or not. And when you have a surplus of pussy, it devalues it. You understand that, don't you?
Yes.
Like money. It's just the same thing. Get a surplus of pussy, it doesn't have much value.
But we're not. But society cannot give us a surplus of pussy. I mean, I understand what you're meaning. Surplus is different pussy,
or
now, pussy at home, all you can eat.
I'm talking about its availability.
Right. Right. But I agree. But they still do it. You could be on an island of five women, and all of a sudden that boat lands, and it's a woman on there that she's dressed different, earrings and everything. You will still go after that pussy. I don't understand.
Well,
it.
On a desert island, that would again make my point. It's scarce on a desert island, and you're marooned there. Mm-hmm. So it's infinitely more valuable, isn't it?
It could be. Pussy does go up in value when you.
Well, it is.
Okay.
I mean, if you have no prospects of getting off the island, and it's the only pussy there. It is the most valuable pussy in the world, quite literally.
Until another pussy comes on the island.
Then the stock goes down. I made my statement was conditional with no prospects of getting off, right?
You're absolutely right. Besides for being on Pussy Island, it's weird how guys think. I'm sorry, seriously, on a serious note. You have a perfectly good pussy at home. This pussy is taking care of your kids. Maybe she's your grand. You know, she's a grandmother to your children.
I'm trying to reconcile that image of my wife, who's a whole complete human being, as being some disembodied pussy running around doing chores. I just can't get with it.
You can't really. You have.
It was actually part of her. You know what I mean? It was.
Oh, I understand.
It was part
well, see, that's
of
different.
Her. It wasn't her
see,
whole being. It wasn't a whole reason for existence, you know.
Right.
As wonderful as she was, it wasn't,
right.
I mean, she was much more than just a pussy.
Right. Well, Sarge, when you were with your wife and she's a lovely lady and everything, I know how much you loved her. I know that love is sacred. I know that love is sacred. But even when you're with your lovely wife, you once in a while you looked at some pussy. You were thinking of pussy
What's wrong
with us? See, it destroys us. We are addicted to pussy. Why are we addicted to pussy when we have perfectly good pussy at home? Sarge, what is going on with us?
I think there's an element of hard wiring there. And to some extent, the hard wiring is probably reinforced by some, maybe less shady aspects of the culture. But I think basically the hard wiring is there. I mean, when I'm with my wife, in order to avoid disrespect her, I had to do everything I could do when some shapely, attractive woman walked by not to look back. I had to fight
right.
it. You know, fight it. I'm not going to do it. You know?
Right.
Not going to do
Why?
It.
Why?
I had the impulse to do it. It was just something that was almost irresistible.
But why? You don't even know that woman.
I think we're wired that way. I really do. I think there's a great deal in that idea, that notion.
See, that goes with the argument yesterday I brought up briefly. Are human beings really meant to be with another human being for the rest of their life, or are they meant to spread their seed and multiply and be a dirty dog bastard? Hi, honey, love you. And anyway,
well,
my girlfriend just passed by.
But that's the reason for the yin and yang in human biology. Men are profligate by nature, given our sexual reproductive mechanism. We are profligate, and that's the way nature intended us to be. And that urge to spread that profligacy is within us. You get it? I mean, like I said, we're demons with the semen, as you put it. We're a semen machine for all of our lifetime. Okay, so now, on the other hand, remember, yin and yang, women are born with only so many eggs. That's all they're going to have for the rest of their lives. The eggs are born with all they're going to ever make. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that's it. That's it. So even though they have the same urge to reproduce and everything else, they realize they have to husband their eggs much more carefully than we do. So what we provide is kind of like what men provide is like this impulse, this relentless desire to procreate, because after all, that's the purpose of life anyway, is to reproduce yourself, basically. Okay?
Right.
So we provide that spur, and the woman provide a check on it to make sure it is fruitful and, in fact, does survive, because they're more discriminating by nature.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the way it's supposed to work. It's supposed to work. We're kind of supposed to be. Maybe not to the extreme that a lot of men carry it to, but we're basically supposed to be that way. And women are supposed to be the way they are. And when it comes together properly, it works just great for both men and women.
But I agree with you with the mechanics.
Guess what we do? When a woman is appropriately picks the right mate, then she has someone that she can be reasonably assured will help to raise her offspring to adulthood, and we get that child raised to adulthood. So we both win. We both win in the reproductive states, the man and the woman. That's what it's supposed to work.
Well, I understand it, but the desire of ruining your life, I guess what I'm talking about, the desire that it can never be quenched. Can a desire be quenched that
quenched. Yeah, like I just said, the example I gave you. It's like when you're boxing. You know, a lot of people have a tendency to want to put their head down when trying to go in there, instead of keeping their head up to see where the punch is going, to see the opportunity to get your punch in. You have to fight that instinct to blink and duck your head. Keep your head up where necessary. You put your head down momentarily, maybe slip a punch or duck a punch, but you get it back up so you can see the opportunity and see where to land your punch and see what the other guy's doing. So you got to fight that instinct. You got to fight that instinct to blink, even though it's overwhelming to put your head down and not get hit. You can't see what you're doing. The same thing like with, I was saying with my wife. I'm with my wife and I see some shapely, attractive woman walking by and I want to look so bad, but the discipline, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Unless, sometimes my wife, knowing the way I was, she'd kind of crack a joke on me and poke me in the side of the eye. Come on, you want to look, don't you? You know, she was a great, I just loved her like that. She was absolutely secure in her relationship with me. She didn't worry about anything.
Right.
So she would do things like that. You want to look, you go ahead and look. I don't mind. Go ahead. Oh, yeah. Well, okay, I'd do it. You know, it was great that way. But, look, I used to tell my wife, I swear to God, this is what I told her. I told her one time, I said, the closest thing I think I will ever be to heaven on this earth is being intimate with you.
Oh.
And she just laughed and smiled and said, thank you for putting into words what I've been trying to say.
Oh.
And that makes it all worthwhile.
It does. See, you know,
that way you can say, okay, if it's like that, it's really like that, you can forego all that other stuff because transitory probably won't be permanent. And like you say, it's going to mess up your life. Everything is an economic calculation if you think about it.
Yes,
what
it
am I going to gain by being unfaithful to my wife that my wife doesn't provide me? Which is more valuable, this transitory moment of pleasure I might have with this little filly here or this absolutely enduring, solid, wonderful, loving relationship I have with my wife? Economics. Which is more valuable?
Yes. And most people don't have the maturity to think that. You know, Sergeant, I felt the same way. It's like when I was single, I used to look back and go, okay, nice ass, nice this, nice this. And the only reason I look back is with the decision, should I talk to her? I didn't care if she was married. I didn't care if she was single. I didn't care if she was gay. I didn't care. You know, what the pervert wants, you know. But now when you're in a relationship, it's like, why? It's like shopping, and I don't understand when women do this. It's like going to a shopping store and looking through the glass and saying, that dress looks beautiful, knowing damn well you're not going to buy it, knowing damn well you're not going to try it on. That dress is never going to be part of your life. What are you doing? You're wasting. So I do the same thing. If I see somebody really has to stick out, like this one woman had a, I was into walking. I was into, me and my girlfriend into walking and everything. And I saw this one girl who was really in shape. And I said to my girlfriend, I go, okay, we keep doing what we're doing. We're going to be that kind of shape. She looked at me. She goes, no, no, we're not. No matter how much we exercise, we're not going to get into that kind of shape. But I don't look back anymore because you know why? For what? For what am I looking back for? I'm not going to go after that girl. I'll probably never see this girl again. So what am I looking at? So I don't anymore. I would acknowledge
the
person.
You are following instincts that, like I said, you are following the kind of instincts that you're supposed to have as a man. I think we're supposed to have this kind of inclination. Mm. I really do. And if you think about it, I'm glad that we do. I know when I wasn't particularly attached, one of my greatest pleasures in life was looking at a magnificent woman. I don't think there's anything in nature more glorious than a beautiful woman.
Right.
And it was literally, woman watching was like, it was a big hobby of mine. You know, watching portraits of beautiful women, photographs of beautiful women, women walking around the street. I mean, good God, I mean, what is better for a healthy man to look at than beautiful women? Nothing.
It's
my opinion.
Right.
That way. There's nothing wrong with it. We don't need to. There ain't no shame in it. The thing is, how do you control it? It's like food. You enjoy food, don't you? But you're supposed to not be a glutton because it's bad for your health. The food is also good for your health, too, in the right amounts, in the right types.
Well, see, that's what I'm trying. I don't know if women have that. See, women don't have that conquering. Maybe they used the word conquer. We just conquer. Men like to conquer battle. We went to win the war. We're conquerors. We're warriors, right? I mean, we go in there, and it's not that we want to spend the rest of our life with that woman. We just want to conquer her for that evening to put a little notch on our belt in there and, you know, walk with a swagger, you know, a little niche on the bedpost. But I don't see women doing that, Sarge. I don't see women looking back. I have walked in the mall, Sarge. I have been there to Christmas Eve. I have been there to Thanksgiving. I've been there when it's busy. I have not once seen a woman with a guy ever look back. I've never seen it.
Yeah, but with Brian, you got to remember that I think with women tend to tie this to ambition. In other words, women throughout history have tended to, at least desired to, marry up. Or associate up. In other words, the man provides some sort of prestige and/or social enhancement. In addition to the fact, he loves him. You know, I'm not saying women don't love the men that they pick men whom they love and who provide some sort of enhancement or prestige to them. So they marry that thing to enhancement. At least traditionally, I think most women will admit this is true. Now that's been changed recently. By other events. As we well know, feminism, the so-called women's empowerment and all that. Women are being told, in order to be empowered, they got to kind of act like men do in sexual relationships. And I don't think that's right either.
Right.
I mean, men and women have different reproductive strategies. I mean, I wish to God we could admit this. Again, I'm always speaking generally when I speak like this. I'm not speaking in individual specifics. Because we know there's a wide range of variables in human behavior. I'm talking about generally, anybody will recognize it as being true, that, you know, men and women have different reproductive strategies because of the nature of what they have to do to reproduce.
That's true, but there are some, you know, that's true in, mechanically of like reproducing and love and everything, but there are just men out there, don't care what it is. We can go with swingers and we can go to this alternative life, whether they – I mean, Sarge, can you really – I mean, what kind of mindset was one need to have that says, here, I'll trade you my wife for your wife that you don't want, that you're going to give to me so I can have some pussy, some strange pussy.
Now, that's
and you
whole
can have my wife.
Is right. Now uh-huh. You're talking about something. It's not like with serial affairs. You have one after
well,
the other. Okay.
It's still behavior.
That's
kind of
like
pussy.
What I would do.
Yeah.
But wife swapping is a whole nother strata that I never could quite comprehend as, you know, a viable reproductive strategy.
Really? I don't know if I want pussy that somebody wants to give away. Hey, Brian. Hey, dude. No, I haven't seen you in a long time. Hey, why don't you come on over and you can eat my wife's pussy. You can have it for the night and everything. And then we'll catch up. It's like, well, if you're giving her away, why do I want...
Yeah, that kind of stuff is something I might have done on a weekend pass, but, you know, that's about it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of myself. How could that possibly be anything anyone would want to seek out? Again, different strokes of different folks, but still, you know, you got to say to yourself, how is this something that you desire and seek out?
Exactly.
This is incomprehensible to me, other than to say it ain't for me, and more power to you if it's consensual, ain't nobody getting hurt, but I don't think it's the right thing to do.
I'll tell you a story, Sarge. I'll tell you a story that's going to make you sick, and I can't keep it in because if I release it, maybe I won't get sick that much. When I was in film school, when we were in film study, we had a thesis, and so my professor asked us what was our thesis, what are we going to do. So he asked me what I was going to do. I said, I want to explore sexuality. He goes, of course, Brian, of course. And so I went in. I had a girlfriend at the time. She was really cool. If you're with me, I have no pretense. You know, I think when guys go up to women and try to pretend that they're somebody that they're not, sooner or later, she's going to know who you are, and she's going to leave you. I mean, that's just it. You know what I mean? You want to pretend that you got all this money, or you pretend that you're suave, Mr. Rico Suave. Sooner or later, she's going to see through you if she's in that relationship. Or you come out and say, I got the biggest penis you ever seen in the Congo. They call me king. She's going to know. Why are you doing this crap? So meaning that if you're with me, you're getting me right now. You know, this is all me. Then there's no surprises. So she's with me, Sarge. She's with me. She loves me. Of course, she has great taste in men. So I wanted to go to this swingers thing. And because I wanted to find out.
You would.
I swear to God, Sarge, this really happens. I hand to Jesus. So I go to her because we had a good trusting relationship. I said, honey, she goes, yeah. I'm going to go to this swingers thing because I need it for my school. She goes, what? Yeah, I'm working on this sexuality thing. She goes, okay.
You mean it's the old research gambit thing?
The old
is that what it was?
Story.
Okay, proceed.
Sarge, we got in our biggest fight ever. And it's not because what you think. I get to the place, and the guy says, well, it's $25. $25! You know, I'm hearing the moaning and groaning. $25? He goes, but if you're with a couple, it's $10. I go, $10 for the couple? He goes, yeah. I'll be right back. I go home. I say, get dressed, baby. We're going. And wear something sexy. She goes, where are we going? We're going to the swingers place, baby. If it's $25 if I go single, but it's $10 if I bring a date. She goes, are you fucking kidding me? Baby, all I need to do is get in. Get dressed. Wear something, you know, alluring and sexy. She was so pissed. I'll do it. I just can't believe you're making me do it. Hey, less mouth. More walking. So I come back to the place. I go, I got a date. He goes, okay, that'll be $10. I pay the $10. She goes right there. All right, I'm leaving now. And the guy goes, whoa, she has to stay for you to get the $10. I go, okay, she has to stay. And she goes, what? And the guy goes, you have to go into this room and you get a towel. She goes, oh, motherfucker. You know, mumbling. And the guy's looking at her like, I don't think she wants to be there. I go, no, that's how she gets turned on. We're into this freak stuff. And we get mad at each other and turns us on. She gets into the towels. And then she goes to the guy, are you happy now? The guy goes, yes. Okay, good. She goes back, gets dressed, goes home. She goes, call me when you're done. True story, Sarge. So I'm getting this place. I'm into this place, Sarge, and there's this long line. I swear to God, it's like 25 deep guys, and it's filling longer. And it's this one girl, in front. Two guys are holding her by her shoulders. Two guys are holding her legs open. And each guy is taking their turn at her. At her. And it was the grossest thing. She was so covered with semen that you couldn't even see her eyes. And they're still standing in line to get next to her. Can you believe that, Sarge? That's it?
Oh, yeah, I can believe that. Yeah, I know places like that happen. Sure, I can believe it.
Ugh. Yuck. Yuck.
I mean, anyway, you know, we got people trying to enact like porno movies they see on the web. You see them in porno movies, you know, they're trying to reenact it.
Like, what the hell? And that's what I'm saying. Some of these guys are probably in relationships. Some of these are married, but you're getting a pussy that's full with semen, somebody else's semen and everything. She's just dripping with it. It looks like a vanilla ice cream cone in a sundae on a hot day just dripping down the cone. That's what she looks like. It's like, ew. But let's go a little further because this show is about information. And Sarge, you know the health benefits of going down on a woman, on a woman? I'll give you the health benefits. If you know, please let me know.
Are you saying there's nutritional value to pussy juice, like celery juice?
Yes, there is, sir. Yes, there is.
Okay, let me hear your best case for this.
Okay. Well, this is by Dr. Lucy Piven. And she says many people supplement their diets, you know, with different types of stuff, vegetables and minerals and vitamins. And then she says, there's a type of good bacteria in the human body, a woman's vagina. Instead of chilling out for yogurts or drinks, why not take a trip south of the border? So she's saying it's nutritional to eat the pussy. And then some guys may ask, what's up with the vaginal bacteria, the vaginal bacteria? See, some people think that it has no bacteria, but it does. It's a bacteria that grows to regulate vaginal pH, according to the research institute. Now, the secretion from the vaginal area, because I'm a doctor, I got my degree on the dark web. I told you I paid $400 for it. So there's a lot of medical stuff that you guys won't get. So I'm going to get to the meat. The meat and the potatoes. One woman even used her vaginal secretions to make yogurt. Hey, there you go. And described her culinary endeavor in the 2015 motherboard. Listen up, dudes and ladies. These are health benefits of eating pussy. Now, it's good for your gut. Probiotics, 8 digestion, allowing good microorganism to balance out your gut. So it's good. It's good.
You know, so Brian, now this is amazing that you would say this because a long time ago, I was discussing this and I was doing a little research into the viability of this notion you just put forward, and I came across a paper in the National Library of Medicine, the National Institute of Health, and it's called The Vaginal Microenvironment, the Physiologic Role of Lactobacilli. And here's what it says in abstract. In addition to being passed from the sperm, menstruum, and the baby, the human vagina and its microbiota can influence conception, pregnancy, the mode, timing, delivery, and the risk of acquiring sexually transmitted infections. The physiological status of the vaginal milieu is important for the well-being of the host as well as successful reproduction. High estrogen states, as seen during puberty and pregnancy, promote the preservation of a homeostatic eubiotic vaginal microenvironment by stimulating the maturation and proliferation of vaginal epithelial cells and the accumulation of glycogen. A glycogen-rich vaginal milieu is a haven for the proliferation of lactobacilli facilitated by the production of lactic acid and decreased pH. And it goes on to say that it provides an effective first-line defense against invading pathogens, including the bacterial vaginosis, aerobic vaginitis-associated bacteria, viruses, fungi, and protozoa. Remember what I talked to you earlier about the alkali environment of the vagina, and that it was the one reason that it was better than, say, anal intercourse, because it provides somewhat of a natural barrier against pathogens. Then obviously it doesn't catch them all because, you know, we have sexually transmitted diseases through vaginal intercourse, but it does defend you against many of them.
Yes.
What you're saying, I know there's a basis to what you're saying. Now,
yes.
So whether or not it's like a substitute for celery juice, now I ain't sure about that.
Right.
But there certainly is an argument that the human vagina is magnificently engineered by nature to do what it does, and I got to agree with that.
Yes. And, you know, that's why more white people are healthier than black people, because black people don't eat the pussy. We walk around with our gut hanging out.
Leave it to you to put an angle on it like that, man. Oh, God.
I don't want to be racist. But come on now, we gotta get.
Well, look, man. Hey, you know, look, I'm not. I'm certainly not gonna dismiss what you just said, Brian.
Right.
I'm not gonna dismiss it. I'm just saying I'm not gonna go around advocating, you know, eating pussy as a substitute for like, you know, a well done smoothie. I'm just not gonna do that. Right. So.
That's true.
Okay. It's interesting to contemplate, though, and we all know, is pussy good for you? Yes, it is.
Yes.
It was very, very good for me. I'm much healthier, and I have a greater sense of well-being when I have a regular, happy, enjoyable sex life. There's no doubt about it. I need no convincing on that score.
Right. A pussy a day keeps the doctor away. It's good for us. Yum,
amen.
Yum.
I tell you, it's truly a tonic. It truly is a tonic. No doubt about it.
But can you imagine many of our black sisters are suffering because the black men are not going to town and going down? I mean, getting down is what it is. Before we used to think, let's get down, then you're dancing. That's not what that's where the miscommunication is. No, you got to get down. Get down! You got to eat. We got to start eating healthy, and I think our black women will appreciate our new diet. I mean, there's suffering here.
I think we could be reasonably sure to say that there's a certainly a good deal of protein and teaspoon of semen, right?
Yes.
I have no doubt about that.
That's right. It starts the darker the berry, the sweeter the juice.
The juice can be as well. I don't know about that. You know, I've had dark, light, it's all pretty sweet. It can be. Let's put it that way. It can be sweeter, but it doesn't have to be.
We are pussy consumers, and we must recognize the benefits of eating the pussy. And I think we should not stay in the shadows of it. We should be proud pussy eaters. I mean, we should wear the T-shirt. We should march. And let's enjoy a healthy...
Well, look, man. I think we can all agree that there's been certainly a lessening of the strictures against that in the black community. Once upon a time, it was an utter taboo. When I was growing up, it was something we were told regularly only white men do. Black men don't go down on nothing, you know? It was certainly now that is no longer true. You don't hear that anymore. I used to hear it regularly when I was growing up.
Right. It's like the saying, white men can't jump, but they sure do jump.
And they also said that, you know, the only white men were homosexuals, too. There's a whole lot of bullshit black people believe, just like shit white people believe. That only,
I know.
Only, even though we had a big community of people in our community we used to call sissies. Like, they're sissies, but they're not really homosexual. They're just sissies. What?
But white people do some strange things. Now, white people like to eat ass. They like to eat ass.
Oh, please. Now, the first time I heard somebody talking about tossed salad, it was a black homosexual. No, that's the first time I ever heard the term used, and it was black homosexual was explaining. I don't know about that either. Look, when it comes to sexuality, the amount of variables amongst people are infinite.
Right.
So,
but this is
all I know is that there are certain cultural shibboleths and taboos and and right. requirements. You know, beyond right. that, you know, I think the range is just about as infinite anywhere you go. There are always people
That's
willing
true.
To defy taboos and go against norms in every culture.
Well, then it depends on how much pussy do you eat to maintain a healthy diet. So you can't just overeat and overindulge a pussy like a turkey. You can't do that. Here it is right here. If you want to know the right amount
All right,
of pussy
well, wait,
eat,
is it like you have to like is, like, is it something that is similar to crop rotation? You can't, you know.
Just a little bit, because you can't.
You know, you're like, you got to rotate up because you got to let the depleted soil rest. Is there a similar regime with regard to pussy eating and cunnilingus?
There might be. Here's the answer, and this is from Dr. Mendez. You know, he explained that it's a gram of vagina or vaginal fluid contains 100,000 to 100 million lactose bacillus cells, like you were pronouncing. You did it better. Depending on one, in order to reap the health benefits of pussy eating, one would have to swallow between 10 and 10,000 grams of vaginal fluid. It's worth, that's a healthy thing to have, is you need to swallow between 10 and 10,000 grams of vaginal fluid. Now, I don't know if that's daily or twice a day. It doesn't say anything, but
how many grams
normal.
Is that again? How many grams?
You would have to swallow 10 and 10,000. It says 10 and 10,000, so I don't know what that means. 10 and 10,000.
Well, that's a hell of a range, ain't it?
Yeah, ten and ten thousand grams. 10,000 grams. Well, I guess if she's overweight, maybe. You know, I don't know, but 10 and 10,000 grams of vaginal fluid. That's how to maintain your healthy. That's good, healthy pussy eating right there. That keeps us healthy. So that's what it is. And then it says here, receiving oral sex also has its perks. As attention, the female orgasm also benefits your mental and physical health. A female orgasm also benefits your mental and physical health, Sarge. I mean, there's a lot of cuckoo people out there, and now I know why they're crazy, because they're not eating pussy. If they had some pussy, they wouldn't be mentally ill so much, because it says it right here. It helps your mental and physical health. So next time you see a crazy person, you go, you're not eating enough pussy.
Yeah, but Brian, 10,000 grams, man, that's like a third of an ounce.
I know,
I mean,
right?
It's a lot of juice, 10,000. That's really flowing pretty good, man, like almost like a menstrual cycle. Would you? I mean, that's a lot of juice. I mean, I can see, okay, 10 grams ain't much, but 10,000 grams, that's a third of an ounce. I don't know, man. I don't know if it's worth the effort, man. Maybe I just go, if you want to look at my nutrition, just go get some celery juice or an antibiotic or something.
Get in there, Sarge. I'm counting on you. It is a lot of juice. I mean,
yeah, it's a lot of juice, man. You got that, you know, it's not like, you know, like you're manufacturing cod liver oil or something, is it?
I don't know. I mean, that's what it says, to stay healthy.
All right. Well, you know, I got an open mind, O'Brien. Don't worry about it. I got an open mind about it. I'm not discounting it. I never discount any information that has some evidentiary backing. So I'll keep an open mind.
Please do. I want you to stay healthy. And again, Sarge, it says here, receiving oral sex also has its health perks. It says here, it's been reported the female orgasm also benefits your mental and physical health. So while you're down there between her legs, you're getting mental health aids. You're getting therapy. And it's going to improve you. By the time you're drinking in and she comes and everything, you're going to be a lot smarter than you were before. And your mental health is going to be great. It says an orgasm...
Look, until recently, though, I imagine, you know, when, you know, my lady's been got her professional affairs and got her going all over the place, I think I was getting a good amount of nutrition from her secretions, let's say. So right. I guess maybe that's why I feel better these days. You think I could have something to do with it?
You sound great. You sound wonderful. You just sound yeah. like you had your dose of pussy juice today. And I think you
No,
sound
not
great.
Today. No. Well, I've been going somewhat of a drought lately because of her her requirements, and we ain't been able to get together nothing, so.
I see. Oh. Well, you
yeah,
got it. Wait,
you know.
Some
but still very recently, I probably was getting adequate nutrition.
Well, you know what they do with the babies, the newborn babies with the pumps and everything, they put it in the refrigerator? Maybe we should start doing that while we have it, and when she have an orgasm, we get a little glass underneath there and kind of, you know, rub the clit a little bit, and then we put it in a glass, we put it in the refrigerator, that way when they're gone, we can have our daily diet, our diet aid, so we can maintain
good. Hey, man, you give me an idea for a product line, man, we can catheterize it and collect it.
Why not?
You know,
you can be a pussy
collector. We can have these women watch porno that really turns them on. They can get juicy and we can collect
it. Milk them like cows.
And I imagine that stuff be worth its weight in gold. It'd probably be more difficult to extract than gold in a lot of ways.
Exactly. After we extract it,
we can set up a pussy
like
farm.
Cows.
Hey, a pussy farm? Think about pussy farming?
Yes. We could be the farmers. We could have
no,
pussy
but it'll definitely have to worry
there.
About PETA. Then PETA would come around and say, you can only have so many in the corral, and, you know, you got to have so much space. You know, there's regulators, man. They always get in there and mess everything up.
They mess everything up.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, never mind. Never mind then. Forget it. I was just dreaming, I guess.
All right. And then we have to go through the FDA with the Food and Drug Administration.
Yeah. And the state wants to get cut. And the federal government wants to cut. Yeah. And then once you get successful, you got to worry about all these woke fools coming in there bully you into giving up what you done earned. Then you got to find a way to come up with. Have you read this book by Vivek Swami about woke corporations and how in order to avoid being intimidated and bullied, they set up all kind of things to keep these woke fools off their behinds. We'd have to do something like that, I guess.
I'm against this woke thing too, so I'm on the same page with you. Sorry.
It's called Woke Geek. You ought to read that book. It's by Vivek Swami. Mm-hmm. He's an Indian guy. He comes on Tucker Carlson fairly regularly. Really smart guy, and he wrote a book about how all these corporations are woke now. Almost every major corporation you can name is woke to some extent.
Right.
You know, how they have to institute all these safeguards against this woke insanity running around all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It's always some crazy people, man.
I guess we'd have to do the same thing if we got the business going.
Yeah. And then they'll talk
to us. Let's not even talk about exploiting women or anything like that.
I know, right?
Maybe it's a bad idea. Maybe I'll forget about before we get started.
And we get sued for sexual harassment for milking pussies. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. Exploiting it. Let it be literally exploiting it in a way that I think no one's ever really considered before, even with regard to prostitution.
I still say the pussy catheter was an excellent idea, Sarge. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Listen, women could have a double job. They could go to work. They could on their lunch break. They could watch the porno and really juice up good. And they could collect it.
A really good juice of
water. It'd be like donating blood or something. But you get paid. You get paid for donating. You get paid for pussy juice.
And if we get lucky, we can have a woman who has these multi orgasms.
And did some rapper do a song about pussy juice or something? Did some rapper do a song about pussy juice?
I don't know. I'm sure there is a song about it.
I think so. Some of them did sign about something. Oh, that was a parody. That's right. When it was still possible to parody rap. There was it was from. Oh, if you have never seen it, you need to go see it. It's Fear of a Black Hat.
Okay.
When the rap industry was just starting to go big and massive, this guy named Rusty Kundef did the funniest movie I have ever seen. I'm including It's a Mad, Mad World.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all the classical comedies you can ever think of.
Uh-huh.
Fear of a Black Hat. was the funniest parody I've ever seen. It was better than Spinal Tap. And a lot of people don't know about it. It was parodying rap when it was still possible to parody rap.
I would have to look at that on YouTube.
You got to go look at it. To... It's so funny. I mean, I demand you go see this movie. It is hilarious.
I will. And you know, Sarge, it's like we have one person on Facebook. They're listening to us. They go, well, what about your politics? I'm going to tell you something. We're talking about pussy juice, and me and Sarge, we're going to go into business together. But, again, all the regulations, we're deciding not to. We don't need the trouble. But as far as politics is concerned, me and Sarge is in the studio. Let's talk about our big black caucuses. You know the black caucus in politics world? Most people don't even know about the black caucus, Sarge. You know what I mean?
You mean the one that won't allow black people to be in it, like, what's this guy? This guy in Florida, Byron Donald?
I think so, and it's like, who is the
Yeah, they won't
of...
allow him to be in a progressive black caucus. He ain't black enough
really?
For him, even though he's a very dark-skinned brother. Brilliant guy. I mean, Byron Donald's smart as a whip. And he that's why he keeps applying for the progressive black caucus, how full of it they are.
Exactly.
And they won't admit him into it.
They won't let him into it.
They won't let Burgess Owens in it either. Burgess Owens can't get in it either.
Wow. There's only 58 members of the black caucuses around. A lot of them seem to be women. Anyway.
You got to be a leftist. If you ain't a leftist Democrat, they don't want you in the Congressional Black Caucus.
Right. So we're not going to talk about our big black caucuses today. We'll talk about it
not
later
today.
Not today. But now there are some drawbacks, and I'll finish it off here. Again, we're going to finish up this thing. If you receive oral sex, there's some benefits here. It says an orgasm releases oxytocin, dopamine, and endorphins. It elevates your mood and can even alleviate pain. So if you're in pain, you got a migraine, you hurt so much, you just get your woman and open up her legs, pull down those panties, give it a lick. It's like licking that frog.
Yeah.
That, you know, that gives you that LSD trip. Just give it a lick. And if you're feeling period cramps, take a note, and it can relieve period cramps. So if your woman is on her period, you can give her a little lick and can actually soothe her period cramps if you're really adventurous. I don't know if I'm that adventurous, but there's some people. I know a friend who used to love her woman on her period, and he just went down there and munched and ate her out until she had no more blood left. He loved eating that blood from her period. I'm not that adventurous.
Was one of this guy's name Dracula or Bella?
Might be Dracula. It was true. I swear to you, this guy loved to go down on his woman when she was on her period. I mean, he used the Tampax as a napkin. Yum, 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 yum.
Women were constantly being told back in the era of not even long past medieval times that they were unclean during this period of time.
Right.
And women had to fight against that stricture for a long, long time. Because women didn't think they were really unclean. They were just kind of messy, but not unclean.
Right. But, you know... You gotta be careful.
Man, I'm so glad I'm not a woman. You have no idea. I'm so glad. I swear, as much as I love women, it is obvious. It should be obvious to you how much I love women.
Right.
You know, I have no desire to be one myself. I am so grateful that I was born a man. I swear to God, I didn't get to go through pregnancy. I'll put up with possibly a prostate cancer. That's fine with me. Just not go through all that other stuff. They gotta go. Periods. Pregnancies, hot flashes. No. I am grateful I was born a man. Lord have mercy. Every day I say, man, thank you, God, that you did not make me a woman. As much as I love women, I'm so glad. That's one of the reasons I think that we used to put them on pedestals. We know they got to go through a whole lot of shit. Because remember, it's like I've said over and over again, every human being that comes to this life through a woman. And it is a rather arduous process. And that's why, that's one of the reasons I think we put women on pedestals.
Well, I do too. They go through it. And that's why I get offended when these guys all of a sudden want to transition to a woman and say they are a woman without going
so
through,
ridiculous.
You know, it's like, you want the good
so
part
ridiculous.
Of being a woman. It's like the white guy.
I just,
gets,
every time I hear this, I just say, why are we submitting to this madness?
Right.
Why do so many people have to surrender to it?
Right.
And all kind of women are going along with it. That's just, I mean, I will never be able to get my mind around this. Never.
Mm. I know, I can't never. Either. I think it's an insult to all women. I really do. I mean, you're not going to be able to just say you're something else, but nowadays, since you take a pill or a steroid, I'm now a woman. I want to be known as Thelma. No, get the fuck out. You're not part of our group. You're not part
yeah.
of our species. You are an unknown species. You know, go back to the La Brea Tar Pits and evolve into a human being. But
yeah, well, you got to, you know, you got to be for what affirms them. No, I think it's a mental illness. They need mental treatment. I'm not changing my mind on it. There's no way you can have
yeah.
perfectly healthy sexual organs and then have a mind that is at war with what nature has created. It's a mental illness. I'm sorry. I'm not going to look at it any other way. I refuse to. I will not be intimidated, browbeated, and bullied into another point of view, even if I'm wrong.
Right.
And I don't think I am.
Right. No, no, no.
I'm really tired of the intellectual browbeating and bullying. I ain't having it.
I agree with you 100%. And the respect that I have of women, and to have somebody take a pill or a steroids or all of a sudden come home and change sex, and now you're part of this sex,
yeah.
without going through what a woman
never forget
goes
how
through.
Much of the argument of the homosexual community and now the transgender community, oh, we just want to be left alone and we want to be... No,
yeah,
now
yeah.
they want... I'm talking about the activists among them. I'm not talking about the ordinary, probably homosexual or transgender person wants to transition, so-called.
Yeah.
Now it is to force you into acceptance, to cancel you where they can if you don't accept it, and to impose a fascist regime of totalitarian thought control on the matter. They're doing everything they can to institute it, and I ain't having it. I'm not having it. It isn't about just being left alone anymore. These people are fascistic in the way they approach you if you don't accept it.
Right.
I've had it.
Right.
I mean, they don't want to be just left alone. They want to impose their values on you and your children. I'm talking about the activists, and that's a small
mm-hmm.
percentage.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But you know what? It's like I could accept their mental illness, but don't make it law. Don't make it like, how do I say it? Like it's a normal thing. You know, like, oh, okay, I'm just...
They did it in one state. I forget the state that just did it. They had a referendum on the ballot, and they just adopted gender identity as a protected civil right in that state. I'm trying to think of what state it is.
Uh-huh.
But once they just adopted it by, and the way they did it was very sneakily. They just posed it as civil right without really going into specifics. They just said gender orientation or identity. That's it, because everything else, they cloaked it with a lot of other stuff that everybody pretty much agrees about, race and sex and all this. And they kind of, most people who look at the ballot probably wouldn't even notice sexual orientation and gender identity, because they see the other stuff and say, okay, I'm going to vote for that.
I know. Well, you know what? That's their life. Let them live it. I ain't going to live
in that state, that's for sure. A state
yeah,
like that,
I hear you. And you have that choice. And you have that right. And, you know, there's a lot of mental illness laws that we have to obey. You know, the bathroom thing where I don't know why. I can't get used to the cross-gender bathroom or family sharing baths. I just feel uncomfortable with that, and maybe because I'm old school. I don't know. I'm just thinking, I don't want to be in the bathroom where a woman is changing her Tampax or her pulling out her red, her her thing from between her legs. What is it, Tampax or tampons? And there's blood everywhere, squirting all over the place like she's a monster, like from a horror film. I'm not interested. She turns into Carrie before my eyes, and I just want to take a piss. But let's get back to this. Here we go. To finish this off, and on a serious note here, we went back to eating pussy, and I went off the thing. But pussy has, if you worry about the calories, pussy is only 10 calories a licking. A serving. So if you worry about, it's very low calories. So you're not going to get fat eating pussy. But there was somebody, you guys remember him, there was somebody who claimed he got cancer for eating pussy. You guys remember who it was?
Oh, isn't that, what's his name, Kirk Douglas, Michael Douglas, isn't that guy?
Yes, we visit him, see how he's doing, because he did have cancer when we come back. If you'd like to come in, 319-527-6099. If you're a pussy eater, you can give the first 10 pussy eaters that come into the show, you get a free gift. I'm not going to tell you what the gift is. It's from our gift store. So you got to be the 10th caller who eats pussy. 319-527-6099.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, but I don't think there's a very high incidence of vaginal cancer around the world, is there? I mean, that's not something that occurs very often, is it?
Modern medicine has exposed a lot of diseases. They got a big thing going on with
if you think something like cancer, man, they would have noticed it 2,000, 3,000 years ago, wouldn't you? If there's a lot of it.
They might
not have had the same names for things, but they describe the symptoms, and everybody knows what cancer symptoms
are. That's the thing. It had a different name. Remember back in the day, SARS, where people used to be over 50 years old, maybe even 47, when people died, they used to say natural causes. It's like, what is natural causes? It used to just be natural causes. And then we quit saying natural causes anymore, and we give you the name of the death. The guy died of this cancer, or the guy died of this disease. We quit saying natural causes anymore. Remember that? Because natural causes used to fit in a lot of shit. The guy was 58.
They used to call it wasting disease, too, I think they sometimes call it.
Yeah, I mean, what is natural causes? It's like you're old and you die. No, you die of something. Even if you're old and die, you die of what, heart failure? Something you had to die of, but in the old days they used to just put it as natural causes, like in a thing.
There's always a mechanism of death, a specific mechanism that causes death.
Right. There is. So I'm thinking the vagina cancer is not, it was lumped into throat cancer. That's what I'm thinking. Right? And you know, you're really good, Sarge. I mean, God, you should be a psychic, because that's the twist. When we come back, there was a big lie about Michael Douglas and what they lied about and what is true. And I just read it now, and I'm saying, fuck, they fucked us up. And I couldn't believe that the Medical Association went with it. It's a scandal. And Sarge just said it. What was it really called, and what was it really under? And what it was really under, you're not going to recognize the situation that was really under. You're going, damn! But they called it something else, and you go, oh, okay. So, when we come back...
We know how people, when they're dishonest, they like to get away with things like that. Like, you know, Brian Sicknick, who died in the January 6th demonstration, they tried to say he was murdered and killed by the – and he actually died of something other than that. He died of a stroke.
Right. This is
That's what he died. He didn't die because somebody sprayed him with pepper spray or bear spray. They didn't find any allergic reactions in the man to that sort of thing when they did – medical examiner said that he died of causes that were unrelated to the demonstration.
True.
But see, when you want to lie about something, you just make up your own narrative and hope nobody investigates.
And if you have the medical profession behind you and everything, which is a big lobbyist group, big pharma, you can lie about shit so you can take shit. You know, you'll start to think about it. I can't ramble. You know, sometimes I think of the simplest things that we accept that I cannot accept. And we go back to Frankenstein, the monster. How can the medical profession come up with a drug that They fully, okay, I guess you're tired of experimenting on mice. I guess you're tired of experimenting on whatever. I say experiment on orphans. Who can complain? Anywho, I said orphans and prisoners. That's it. Who's going to complain?
Hey, look,
well,
you got to real. I mean, you do realize that the allies and many in allied medicine studied intensely the experiments the Nazis did on concentration camp prisoners in World War II because they couldn't reproduce them any other place. The Nazis did it because they just totally abandoned ethics and morality. But
yes.
since it was done by them, they decided to look at what they looked at with regard to hypothermia, because they did a lot of experiments on hypothermia in order to protect the pilots who were, like, shot down in the North Sea where it's cold, and they were trying to figure out to develop clothing and equipment that might better protect them from hypothermia, and they did all kinds of experiments with that. And nobody could say it didn't yield any useful information, because it did.
Yes.
It did yield some useful information, but it was so horrible what they did, you're not even supposed to even consider that it might have.
Right.
The same thing
and
with the Japanese, with that Unit 731 they had in Manchuria. They did the same thing. They did unethical experiments on human beings that could not be countenanced by any decent people, but they were studied intently by scientists, as they said, well, look, since it was done, we might as well learn from it. Now, the fear is that by even admitting there is something usefully gained from it, you justify it being done in the future. And there's some truth to that in the experiments that were done on fetal tissue. There almost was a market to create fetal tissue in order to do experiments on it.
True.
And how do you create fetal tissue? You got to get it from women who undergo abortions.
True, and that's how we got our stem cells. Remember our stem cell research? Why do you think we got that?
Exactly.
The biblical course.
Exactly. So I see the push and pull on the issue, but there was some information, not as much as it should have been, because many of the experiments were done in a chaotic, uncontrolled fashion. They were not done with rigor, if you want to put it that way, that would have yielded the maximum benefit from the evil that was being done, or the maximum information from the evil that was being done. But nonetheless, they did provide some information that did have value.
True. And little,
you can't do that on human. Look, the closest you can come to it is primates, other than the man.
True.
Chimpanzees, apes, and others, but, you know, it doesn't yield the same thing as when you actually experiment on human beings. Human trials are always what is needed to cause a drug to be accepted by the FDA. You got to do human. At some point, you got to do human trials.
Exactly. Can you imagine? We got from Dr. Mengele, and people don't even know in World War II when the Germans surrendered and we were in war, that the Russians and the United States were vying for Mengele. They wanted Mengele. They wanted not to imprison him, but his experiments that he was doing, because at that point, at World War II, we were just developing chemical warfare, and we wanted to know how we can get involved in that kind of business. You know what I'm trying to say? But anyway, I'm not going to go down to that wormhole. But they have used it on apes and whatever, and then some people argue we got AIDS and everything. I'm not going to go down that wormhole, but I'm just saying how Big Pharma is doing it in the open. They're just advertising on TV. Well, if you'd like to do experimental drugs, we would gladly pay you
$700. Yeah, in order to come up with the vaccine, the COVID vaccine, man, they had to get a blanket immunity from lawsuit for adverse reactions to the vaccine.
And they pay the fools. We will pay you $750 for this trial.
You can't fool. You look at all these people with the myocarditis and the heart reactions from the vaccine. The correlation is too strong to ignore now. Help the young people who get the clot shot, as they call it, wind up with myocarditis.
I know.
After getting the shot.
I know. It was like when they were saying, and there's rumors, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, the Viagra thing for the hard-on, that was basically supposed to be to grow hair on your head, and they found out that it gave men a hard-on. And they used it as, okay, let's just, instead of saying a hair growth thing, let's just go with a libido kind of thing. It's just weird.
Yeah, it's a vasodilator. That's what it is, and that's going to get
the
blood flow going, and you need to get down there to get an erection.
I know. It's like, I'm still bald, but look at the giant hard-on I got, Doc. perfect.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, when we come back. So anyway, it was, I can't believe this Michael Douglas thing when he came out, and it was disguised as something else, but it was really, and they finally, and they tried to cover this shit up. When we come back, Michael Douglas claimed that he had throat cancer for eating a lot of pussy. That's what he claimed. So, but we're going to find out what really happened, because I just found out now. You're listening to Hammer 96.7 BT Radio with the great Sarge here today, who is co-hosting with me. He didn't know he was co-hosting, but he is. So come on in the studio. Talk to Sarge, 319-527-6099. And you can talk to me, too. I'm in the studio. Like I said, I got my certificate for being a medical doctor on the dark web. I got the receipt and everything. So if you have a problem, come on in. If you're getting a divorce, come on in. I can fix it because it was 2-for-1. I am a clinical psychiatrist, according to the dark web. I can talk to you from the ledge. And there's Sarge, who is logical and a good person. 319-527-6099 is the number to call in. And we'll be right back with this thing about Michael Douglas. My God, are you serious? We'll be right back. I'm going to get some coffee, Sarge. I'll be right back. There was somebody on Facebook, they sent Brian a message and said, Brian, I hear that, and this is all true, I hear that you play songs. I say, yeah, I play songs. They go, well, I want to dedicate a song to you. I go, to me? Oh, and I'll see if I have it. I have the long version, but I don't have the short version of it. The long version is too long.
of the song that she wants to dedicate to me. So I'm going to play it by speaker, the short version. All right, I won't tell you, this person wants to remain anonymous. So thank you, Leslie, for the dedication. And I guess this is to me. This is from Brian, or from Leslie to Brian. This is a song that she dedicates to me. Here we go.
Thank you.
dedicated to Brian Hammer Jackson. Yeah, Axon Jackson, if you're nasty. Very good.
Hey, Brian,
thank you.
I suppose it would be appropriate or would it be inappropriate to say that Michael Douglas has licked his cancer? And I know I shouldn't make light of that, but it's almost irresistible. But look, man, let me. When I was looking into this, this is something
yeah.
I read when I heard about it. I said, "What?" And then I looked into it, and it was a statement by a guy named Dr. Eric Gendon. He's professor and chair of otolaryngology at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York, and this is what he said. He said that there's, quote, an epidemic of HPV, and HPV
yes.
stands for human papillomavirus, you know,
yes.
HPV, which is, he says, is an epidemic of HPV-related throat cancers. And throat cancer is known as oropharyngeal cancer, refers
exactly.
to tumors that occur in the tonsils, base of the tongue, and upper throat. Smoking
yes.
and alcohol use have been associated with risk factors. But in recent years, throat cancers related to the sexually transmitted virus, human papillomavirus, has been on the rise. HPV is just an STD transmitted by oral and genital sex, so maybe he's actually got something there.
He really does. And it says here, and we're going to listen to Michael in a little bit, but you're absolutely right, Sarge. And I thought it was a little scandal, but it says here, this is according to CNN and Health. Michael Douglas, throat cancer was really tongue cancer. But we just said it was throat cancer, so people go, oh, but it was really tongue cancer, which you don't hear a lot about. You don't hear a lot about that. It says Michael Douglas never had throat cancer. He never had it. But it was easier for people to digest what he was doing, because when he came out and said he got it from oral sex, people said, oh, okay, throat cancer. Because they're familiar with throat cancer. Now, Michael Douglas told the press in 2010 that he did have throat cancer. He told it. Wasn't the doctors covering up? This is what Michael Douglas told the press. Now, the actor now says he had tongue cancer. That's what he really had. And you don't hear too much about tongue cancer. And Douglas said that he hid the diagnosis at the urging of his doctor to protect his career. He hid it at the urging of his doctor. Now, what kind of doctor? Now, here's where I have a problem. The doctor says, don't tell nobody that you have tongue cancer because this is going to protect your career. See, that's the problem I have with the medical profession. Aren't you supposed to get that out there? Shouldn't they encourage him to say, please, not many people know about tongue cancer. You're a celebrity. Speak upon it. Shouldn't that have happened? Or why would a doctor tell you to hide the shit and lie to everybody? See, that's the problem I have right there, Doc. Is that is that a conspiracy that the doctor told you to hide the shit and say that you got this so it doesn't ruin your career? Or you got a celebrity in front of you right now that people are not hearing what tongue cancer is. So go out there and tell people so they can be aware of this. But you're going to lie to people. What do you think?
Well, Brian, a doctor has an ethical obligation not to reveal any information about his patient. His patient doesn't want admitted, but once the patient tells the doctor it's okay to release information about his medical condition, the doctor's obligated to tell the truth about it.
Right.
He's not supposed to fudge it. He either shuts his mouth completely and doesn't say anything, or
right.
if the patient says, okay, doctor, you can reveal my medical condition, he's obligated to reveal ethically what the condition is.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Especially if it could affect
right.
people. Now you know what a pap smear is, right?
Yes.
Now, pap smear will pick this condition up in women. Now, in men, I think it's pretty much undetectable. Now, what a pap smear looks for, a pap test, looks for disorganized cells. I think they got a word for it, like a dysplastic or something like that. As well as cancerous cells. It does both. The dysplastic cells could be a forerunner to getting cancer. So if you find either or, red flags go up. Or obviously, cancer cells, obviously, but dysplastic cells, even so. L cells that are disorganized and not structured the way they're supposed to be. Now, if the immune system can clear out the virus, then the cells get back to a normal state. You got something like a non-viral infection can also cause a dysplasia, which is why gynecologists, when they're checking out women, they should look for other infections before they do go into a biopsy thing when they do the cervix.
Right.
I remember all this from my wife. My wife was talking about she didn't have any diseases, but she was talking about the things she did when she when they gave her a pap smear.
Right.
And, you know, and she had biopsy done in her cervix. And the birth of our first son, her cervix wouldn't open. She had a great deal of difficulty in her first labor.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
and they did this as part of it.
Right.
Anyway, when they look for this, when they do this biopsy of the cervix, they also can find out, you know, about incompetent cervixes. I mean, they're not working properly and possible loss of a pregnancy. But a pap test for the throat should be possible, I would think.
I would think,
you know,
so too.
Both the throat and the cervix would be covered with the same kind of cells that would lead you to the conclusion of the diagnosis.
Right.
So,
right.
And if he's got a walnut-sized lump in his tongue, from what I think they were talking about, how did the doctor miss that? How did Douglas miss that? Now, his wife is Catherine Zeta-Jones. You know her, right?
Right, exactly. Beautiful woman.
Now, she's going to be, she's going to get them swabs probably every 6 months for the rest of her life.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean,
she's in a relationship with him. I assume they're doing something like that together. Is that an unreasonable assumption?
I don't know if it's contagious, though, is it? I don't know if it's contagious.
HPV is.
Oh, you're right.
It's a virus.
Oh, shit, you're right. Because it is.
Are you a human? Papillomavirus.
Right.
It is a virus. All viruses are infectious.
And not to mention he's an actor and he has kissed many women on a set and everything and he endangered their health too.
Exactly.
Wow. I didn't think of that, Sarge. But we'll go with the story. But it goes like this. The surgeon said to Michael Douglas, let's just say it's throat cancer. Douglas told his fellow actor Samuel L. Jackson for a segment that ran on British television as part of a male cancer awareness week. Douglas says the doctor told him if they had to do surgery for tongue cancer, it's not going to be pretty. You could lose part of your tongue and your jaw if they have to do tongue surgery. I mean, we don't hear about tongue cancer that much. And like you're saying, that you can get it. We joked a little bit. It was not really a joke, but we talked about oral sex and are you addicted to pussy? And some people are addicted to pussy. It's like no matter what they have at home or what they're with, they got to have something strange. But what's strange is what the pussy that – you'd rather be with the pussy that you know because the pussy that you don't know can kill you. And I'm not trying to scare people off on pussy scare. But I'm just saying, you just don't know what the person has, you know? And I never heard of tongue cancer before. And as part of the HPV, you're absolutely right. I mean, I was just getting used to the shingles shot. That, what? Shingles? What the fuck? So it's like, so the doctors, but when I get really weary when the doctor's saying, the surgeon said, let's just say it's throat cancer. Let's just say it's throat cancer. Okay. Let's not say it's tongue cancer. But isn't tongue cancer, if it's what you're saying, Sarge, with the HPV, that could be contagious? And if you're saying throat cancer cannot, I'm not thinking throat cancer is contagious. It's throat cancer. But if you're saying tongue cancer that's brought on by HPV that could be contagious, it's a gray area for me. It's a gray area for me for a doctor to say that. He should have shut his mouth. I know about HIPAA. The HIPAA laws, and if you don't know what a HIPAA law is, it's an agreement with the doctor and the patient. Basically, it's a federal law that requires the creation of national standards to protect sensitive patient health information from being disclosed without the patient's consent or knowledge. And meaning that if the doctor is seeing Trump, he doesn't have to disclose anything what he found that he's just a healthy guy. He doesn't have to say that this guy has this, or whatever. He may have shingles, or he's suffering from shingles at the time. He just said, it's a HIPAA thing that prevents this act for doctors telling anybody about their patient. But that's one thing, but telling your patients another about, let's just say this and don't tell people this and guiding the patient through this and it's a lie, I have a problem. I'm sorry, I have a problem.
I gotta agree with you on that one, man. That's I think it's especially given the nature of his profession and, like you said, what he's doing with other actors on the set. But look, another thing I found out when I was looking at this, that they say somewhere over 50% of all mouth and throat cancer is being caused by the HPV virus. Again, that's linked to genital warts too, as well as cervical cancer. And since the onset of the AIDS virus, oral sex has become more common. So, the use, and this has caused, I think, an increase in diagnoses of mouth and throat cancer, like you get from chewing tobacco and pipes. And as chewing tobacco and the use of pipes declines, the number of cases from HPV virus increased.
Right. And they don't know that, Sarge. I mean, back in see, when I went to Ventura High, Ventura, California, there was a little town called Ojai, which is 10 minutes away. Ojai, think of Bonanza to this day. They still ride horses, and they go to the store to this day, and they would tie up the horses on a little horse thing and go in and get their stuff and ride home. To this day, that's what Ojai and Oakview is. You go back into the Wild West. And what I'm trying to say is, in high school, it was not uncommon for the kids from 15 to 17 chewing tobacco in school and spitting it in a cup. They used to just chew it. I even got into the chew. I even got into the red man. It was a red man chew. The teacher would be talking about history, and we're up there putting a chew between our cheeks, and we're chewing the shit and spitting in a cup. Even some of the girls were doing that when we were going to school. You know, not knowing that it could be, you know, mouth cancer from that bullshit, you know?
Well, I think we could say this, Brian, that this is another one of the consequences from sodomy. And after all, oral sex is sodomy, whether it's
right.
Oral or almost. This is another one of the consequences attached to sodomy.
I agree with you. You know, but I don't understand the people who do the risky behavior. I mean, I have to, you know, Sarge, I put myself in people's shoes. For instance, if somebody says to me, well, Brian, you have AIDS. You have HIV. And my doctor will say, well, since you're an actor and a producer, please don't tell anybody you have AIDS because it could ruin your career. Tell them you got a bad cold. I mean, to me, it's the same thing with this Michael Douglas thing. It bothers me. You know what I'm trying to say? But anyway. So I'm thinking, what the fuck? I'm going to do risky behavior. I'm going to sleep with women who are pole dancers or strippers. I'm going to go to these stupid clubs where they do these stupid things where you're having sex with people you don't know. I'm doing all this really risky behavior. And if I'm doing that, I'm wondering, do these people are doing it? Because there's no way in hell that you have these people with these swing clubs and these backdoor B&D things and these glory holes, glory, 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 hallelujah holes, that they're not, that they to indulge in that behavior, that risky behavior, they must know something that they don't care about. You know what I'm trying to do? I mean, if a guy is sticking his penis through a little hole and you go, oh, lollipop, yum, 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 she must have something that we don't know. He must have something to take that risky behavior. Because why would you do that if you're a healthy person, that you would go into a situation that can compromise your health? Sarge, take it away. Is it just me being paranoid? But
no, it's not you being paranoid. I mean, and by the way, isn't he in remission for this cancer, by the way?
Yes. The latest thing here, I got Michael Douglas, is just said, now, I don't know if this is a current thing, but I Googled it. Okay, here it is. Is Michael Douglas cancer-free? And it says yes. According to four sources, yes. Michael Douglas says he's cancer-free and feeling good following a six-month battle with stage four throat cancer. days
what?
Before. Yes.
Man, he's the fugitive from law of averages right there.
I know. His throat must have swelled up. I don't even know how he could probably swallow with stage 4 throat cancer. He underwent grueling rounds of radiation and chemotherapy last year. And see, I don't know when this is dated because it's not giving me a date. And then it says, after several visits to the doctors, a tumor on the base of his tongue was discovered. On the base of his tongue. With further analysis, it was determined that Mr. Douglas had stage 4, I can't even read it, it's a medical term, squamous cell carcinoma, which
squamous,
is oral
squamous
cancer.
epithelial
right.
cells. Yes.
Which is oral cancer.
Squamous is the term you're looking for.
Yeah. He immediately began radiation and chemotherapy. Imagine chemotherapy on your tongue. And radiation, imagine radiation on your tongue. The PSA will support the foundation efforts to educate the public about the need for annual screening to catch oral cancers in their early stages, in most survivable stages. Approximately 48,250 people in the U.S. will be newly diagnosed with oral cancer in 2016. So I don't know what he's doing at 22. This still dates back to the 16. So this, as of 16, he's cancer-free. I don't know what he's at 22. I mean, this is like 8 years ago, maybe. This includes those cancers. Well, we know he didn't die. Because it would have been in the news, so he didn't die.
No. He's from what I heard, because I remember this happened a couple of years ago that he was first diagnosed with it in public.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. He considered himself very lucky to beat that the way he did. You know, stage 4. Jesus, that's just a step above term right there.
This includes cancers that occur in the mouth itself, in the very back of the mouth, known as Orphorex. Forget my medical thing. Again, I get it from the dark web. But it's the exterior lip of the mouth. Ugh. There are two distinct pathways.
I guess that's what's going to happen when you can afford the very best in medical care. You can beat stuff like that.
Yes, so stage 4, you're basically bye-bye.
Yeah, it is, man. I mean, you know. Any kind of cancer stage 4, man, is usually terminal.
Exactly. There are two distinct pathways by which most people come to oral cancer. One is through the use of tobacco and alcohol. Alcohol? Wow. I knew about tobacco, but I didn't know about alcohol. And the other is through exposure to the HPV-16 virus, the human papilloma virus, version 16. A newly identified virus, and the same virus which is responsible for the vast majority of cervical cancers in women.
Right.
So you're telling me that a person could have HPV and have oral sex with a woman and she can develop cervical cancer? Is this what I'm understanding?
Yes. A virus is a virus, man. You know how transmissible viruses are. So whatever the method of transmission is, that's the route the virus takes to get there and cause the infection.
Right. I mean, it says,
nature doesn't play favorites. Look, when it comes to vectors of diseases, nature doesn't play favorites. You know, so we're not gonna have this method off limits because human beings like to eat pussy. No. Nature's gonna take advantage of that route and go there.
That's true. I've been eating pussy for years, and I don't have throat cancer. I know this is a hairy subject, but what I'm trying to say is,
now a lot of women shave these days. It's not a hairy subject.
That's true. That is true. But I don't indulge in risky behavior. You know, it goes back to the risky behavior. I mean, would you have oral sex with a porn star who's been a porn star for 10, 15 years? I mean, these
Hell
are
no.
things. Oh.
Hell no. I don't even think I'd have sexual intercourse with her.
I do. I have with a chance
condom,
to do it,
no
less.
Look, let's put it this way. If I'm going to have sexual intercourse with a woman, now,
yeah.
I might wear a condom because a woman wants me to, and that's
right.
A condition of the sex, okay. But if I'm going to have sex with a woman, it's going to be a woman with whom I'm not worried about getting infected. The only thing I'm going to worry about, if I'm going to worry about it, is pregnancy, not sexually. Because I'm not going to get with any woman who I think may be sexually infected. Even though I know anybody can be, but I'm just saying, if I think I need to wear a condom with a woman to prevent sexual transmitted diseases, I don't need to be with her.
Right. Right, exactly. That's what and that's what I'm trying to say. Why are people participating in this dangerous, I mean, just being healthy that you have a 50-50 chance of contacting something like an HPV or something, you know? Herpes, whatever. Even the healthiest people, we got a 50-50 chance. Why would you go into some debauchery behavior where these, you know what I'm trying to say? Why even do this wife swapping and this sex play and cosplay and all this stuff? Why even indulge in that behavior to up the
increase? Seems exciting and all that, you know, like especially when you're younger, you need the thrills and all that. I don't know. Risk-taking is part of human behavior, and I guess that's part and parcel of it, because like when we go on a roller coaster, you want the illusion of danger, right? Not only do you want to pull the G's and the roller coaster going up and down the hill and all that, you also want the illusion of danger, and that's what roller coaster is. I think to some extent sexually risky behavior, again, the violating taboos and all the thrill and the risk that comes from doing that sort of thing, okay, yeah, I get the attraction. I'm saying the question is it worth it?
It's not, because what it
and
all boils down to.
I deny that there isn't something about it that's alluring. But again, when you consider the risk, is it really worth it?
No, because what it boils down to, without the smoke and the mirrors and all this kind of journey till you get there, it's still. Goes for penis and pussy. Mouth, eat pussy. I don't care what journey takes you to get there. It's still what the risky behavior of getting that pussy, whether you're wearing a mask, a Pinocchio mask, you're jumping through hoops, or you're with different people, it still comes down to the mechanics, dick and pussy,
yeah.
Mouth,
and
pussy.
I'm telling you, man, like I decided, you know, at some point I decided that no matter what I find, I'm not going to find anything better than the woman I was with, and no point.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing going to be better.
Right.
And there's a whole lot of risk associated with it. Well, why bother? I'm not going to find anything better than she was.
Well, okay. I don't know better, and you're not, but it could be something different that makes you happy. You're not going to find anything better.
No, I understand.
No,
I'm not discounting. I'm just weighing everything in aggregate. The good, the pull of it and the bad of it, and I'm saying the bad of it outweighs the virtues, if there are any. If you want to put it,
right.
If you want to put it as a virtue, then the virtues
sure.
are outweighed by the detriments.
Right, right. And
the detriments
it.
Are outweighed by the virtues. Yeah. So.
We went through it. What kind of cancer does Michael Douglas have? He has diagnosed with throat cancer, but we really know it was tongue cancer. It was stage 4. He has 4 children. What happened to Michael Douglas? These are the questions. Michael Douglas says he's cancer-free, feeling good, following a 6-month battle with stage 4 throat cancer. He underwent grueling rounds of radiation and chemotherapy. Radiation on your tongue or in your mouth. Wow.
Well, look, Brian, we understand it's painful for a lot of us to admit, and for a long time it was painful for me to admit, too. But basic rules of morality arise out of pragmatic considerations. You stop thinking about it.
Yeah.
The basic rules,
right.
The Ten Commandments, and all that is basic pragmatism. Even if you want
right.
to, if you want to exclude the spiritual and the sacramental and the religious side of the argument, and a lot of people do, and I don't,
right.
but I'm going to do it just for the sake of this conversation right now. Even
right.
if you exclude all of that. You know, the
right.
universal morality and the idea of an all-seeing God knowing everything bad you do, and he's going to see.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we have these basic rules of morality is for pragmatic considerations, such as what we're speaking about now.
Right. Right, I agree. I agree. But, Sarge, could I be so bold to ask, what did your lovely wife pass of?
She had complications from COPD.
COPD?
She developed rather late in life.
What is COPD?
I'm still trying to figure out what happened.
Okay, I don't know what COPD is. Is it the smoking?
That's chronic obstructive pulmonary disease.
Okay, wow. I never heard of it. I never heard of it, Sarge. Is it linked to anything else that I'm familiar with?
Pulmonary diseases like pulmonary and edemas and embolisms and things like that, I guess. You could say it's kind of in the neighborhood.
Okay. I hope she did not suffer, Sarge. Did she suffer?
It was sudden. I mean, it was like, you know, she had the condition. It was detected, thankfully, because we didn't have Obamacare at the time. She had on private health insurance, and they were able to detect it. And she was on treatment for it, and she was managing it very well. But then she had the attack, and her lungs completely seized up. She couldn't get any oxygen.
God. Damn. And they don't know what caused it, huh? They didn't know what caused it at all?
No, we don't know what triggered it at that time.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
We were thinking it was something that maybe she had eaten just before it happened that triggered it, some sort of allergic reaction, and then none of it was revealed in the autopsy, so we can't say for sure.
Well, I'm sorry, Sarge. Seriously, I'm really sorry.
It was like just like that. She was there with me, and then she was gone. And I mean, I didn't chance. The worst part of it was I just didn't have a chance to say goodbye to her. You know.
I know.
Tell her how much she's come to mean to me.
I think about it every day.
It's not a day in my life that's gone by since she's been gone. I haven't thought about her. And it.
Mm. I know. I didn't get a chance to say goodbye to my mom or my dad, so I know that feeling of not getting to say goodbye. I understand. But if you believe in a spiritual thing, they know they can hear us saying goodbye to them now. You know, I don't know. Sarge, I'm sorry.
All of a sudden she said
that
she was feeling ill, and she asked, I said, what's wrong? I said, do you need me to take it to the hospital? And all of a sudden she's collapsed, and I was giving her CPR, and I could tell I wasn't getting any oxygen into her lungs. I could tell nothing was going in.
Yes.
And I know how to give CPR. I've given it several times in the past.
Yeah. Well, that's rough, man. That's real rough.
Yeah, it's bad, but that's all right, because I did have the most wonderful years of my life with any human being. It was the best relationship I ever had in my entire life, and I was lucky I've had her.
Yeah. Well, in my religion, you'll see her again. That's what I believe, you know.
It'd be worth dying for that to happen.
Well, when you're ready.
I'm not going to rush it anymore. I'm pretty good shape. I feel pretty good. So, you know, I'm going to keep on enjoying life while I can.
Same here. Well, it says here, there are new data shows that the fastest growing segment of newly diagnosed cases are now young. And these are the people, non-smokers, most certainly is the fact that while many other cancers have been in decline in recent years, the occurrence of oral cancers have increased each of the last 6 years, and peer-reviewed published data shows that the number of HPV-related oral cancers will surpass cervical cancers in the near future. Caught early, the oral cancer can be treatable, but many people do not know they have it until it's already turned into a killer. See, that's the thing. Caught early, it can be treatable, but many people do not know they have it until it has already turned into a killer. In the U.S., a person dies from oral cancer every hour of every day. The death toll is particularly high due to lack of public awareness combined with infrequent screenings for the condition by medical and dental professionals. See, this is why it's so important to go to the dentist. This is why you have your annual checkup at the dentist. Who would have thought that a dentist could say, well, you got oral cancer here? When found in the early stages of...
Think about it. What part of the body isn't subject to getting cancer? I'm trying to think of what organ or... You get bone cancer.
Right.
I never heard of heart cancer. Have you ever heard of heart cancer? I think it's about the only thing, is it?
Well, heart disease. Heart disease.
Heart disease is one thing, but heart cancer. Cancer is like rioting cells growing at will. I've never heard of heart cancer. Other than that, I've heard just about everything else. Bowel cancer, liver cancer, pancreatic cancer, lymph node cancers, tongue, mouth, cheek, lung cancer. I think heart cancer is about the only thing you don't get cancer. I could be wrong, but I've never heard of anybody getting heart cancer.
Well, here you go.
Brain cancer.
You asked, and I will give you the
cancer.
Here it is. What is the life expectancy of someone with heart cancer? The 5-year survival rate for the subtype when tumors have metastasized, spread to other parts of the body, is approximately 7%. If tumors have already reached nearby tissue, then the rate what is the expectancy of somebody with heart?
Yeah, but that statement you just read didn't mention heart cancer per se.
They just said that
a cancer metastasizes and then the heart gets influenced by it.
Right. I think, this one even says it worse. What are some heart cancer symptoms? Trouble urinating, pain when urinating, blood in the urine. That doesn't sound like heart cancer. That sounds like bladder cancer.
No, that's not like heart cancer. Sometimes that's the only organ in the body I've never heard of a specific cancer for. Obviously I'm not a doctor. I could be wrong.
No, I think you're right.
I've never heard anybody mention heart cancer before.
Yeah, you may be right. I guess that's one organ.
I think everything else is subject to a cancer. Everything.
Yeah.
Kidney.
Yeah.
Liver. Spleen.
Right.
Pancreas.
Right. Yeah.
Certainly lungs.
Lungs.
Bones.
Yes.
I don't think there's
a
muscle cancer. There may be tumors that excise muscle tissue. I don't think muscle gets cancer, does it? Or does it?
I don't know. Bladder cancer, heart cancer. You got brain cancer.
That's good going fat.
You got brain
cancer. Fat is kind of inert.
Yeah, you got
so
brain
fat,
cancer.
So fat, you're not going to get fat cancer, but muscle cancer, you're not going to get. I think that's about it. Everything is subject to a cancer.
That's true. Hey, Sarge, I was going to go with Michael Douglas talking about it, but we already kind of know it. But we only got 1 minute left. I'm not going to go into the Trump thing. Tom Brady's interview with NFL Sarah Walsh makes reporter's husband. Okay.
Man, this
I like to end it.
One that I'm really starting to get into now. This Sam Bankman-Fried.
Uh-huh. Oh,
man,
really?
This story
this
story is, oh, man, this story, I swear to God, it is everything rotten in leftist politics today.
I know.
Everything. It incorporates all of it. And the guy himself admitted it. Woke, as far as corporate America is concerned, is a big scam.
That is true. That is true. Sarge, I got 50 seconds left.
I'm telling you, man, everything about this thing, that's why I think they're muting the coverage of this, but this thing's going to blow up. It also involves Ukraine.
It will. Sarge, we got 30 seconds left. I want to thank you for coming in the studio. I will be on Monday morning. I will be on Monday morning at 7:30.
You always say that. You ain't there when
Pacific.
You say you're supposed to be there.
I will. I'm trying. I promise. I want to thank Sarge for coming in, co-hosting the show with me. It was me and him today. It felt great. I know you guys are listening. I know the ladies didn't want to come in because of the subject. One lick, twice bitten. Are you a pussy addict?
Yeah, they couldn't stop listening, I'll bet you.
Okay, wait a minute. We got a 111 coming in. Right in 2 seconds left. Here we go. 111, live on the air. 111, you're live on the air, so we're going to say goodbye. Okay, we got to say goodbye then, since 111 won't talk.
They got scared.
I think so. Once licked, twice bitten. Are you a pussy addict? Sarge, thank you for hosting the show with me. 111, you came in right when we're leaving. I think this is, if this is you, Mr. Solution, say hello. Say hello if this is you. Come on, nobody's going to bite you.
And I got to confess to being a pussy addict, but I'm recovered.
And you're recovering.
Yeah, I'm a recovered step. Pussy addict. Okay.
Well, you know what? I'm still addicted. I can't help thinking about pussy, man.
Well, there's worse things to be addicted to, I'll tell you that much.
That's true. And it's kind of irony to addicted to pussy. That should be a song. I'm addicted to pussy. I want to thank everybody for coming in. Thank you, 111. Well, you're not saying anything. So I will be on the air again Monday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Thanksgiving is coming around. Think about the holiday. Don't be in New York because the snow in New York is unbelievable in New York, in Buffalo, New York. See you later, Sarge. I'll see you Monday. Bye-bye.
Till then.
Okay, buddy. Be safe.